Let us turn in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. Lamentations, following the prophecy of Jeremiah, and reading this morning from Lamentations 3. Lamentations chapter 3. At first, I had planned for us to read only through verse 24, but I think we'll read through verse 33. Verse 1 through 33 of Lamentations chapter 3. This is the word of the Lord. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear, lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Our text is from this passage, verse 22 through 24. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's been quite a year so far. We have to say, no doubt one of the most strangest and most challenging years for many of us, and it's not over, as we know, and it's difficult to anticipate when there will be relief, when there will be a change, when life may return to something of what we knew in the past. It can be quite wearisome, can't it? And rather than a day of thanksgiving, we may be more inclined to lamentation. Or maybe that's too strong. Maybe people today may have a spirit more of indifference, of why bother with thanksgiving? It's not terrible, maybe, but it's not very great. And then, of course, for some people it is terrible. How many have lost loved ones this past year? Also among us, of course, most recently with the passing of Trudy, but further afield there has been death, How many have lost their businesses across our land and really throughout the world? How many are descending into poverty or deeper poverty? That's happening as we hear from time to time. And it maybe is not that bad for us yet, or it may not even get ever that bad. But here too, we have our list of griefs and struggles and complaints. It may be as simple as the disappointment that we cannot have our annual Thanksgiving celebrations, at least with the same carefree spirit as before. The restrictions are an ever-present reality. And it may seem trivial compared to what others are enduring around the world, and we understand that, and yet it isn't trivial, is it? God made us to be together as people. Also here as a congregation, we still cannot join all as one. And for how long must that go on? And for how long must we bear with these things? And so as we think about all of this, it may be a struggle to celebrate Thanksgiving. Indeed, it took me some time to think about what would be an appropriate message for this service. But then I remembered this text from Lamentations. This little interlude in the midst of five long chapters of grief and of sorrow and of lament. Lamentations is aptly named, of course. It's a name that is descriptive of the contents. Here is the prophet Jeremiah, and he is grieving and he is weeping. And the reason is the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of the Jews and their captivity in the land of Babylon. And just thinking of that, so long ago now in history, but what a calamity. We know the story. What a trial, what a judgment ultimately from the Lord. And Jeremiah is giving expression to how also the people are processing what has happened. And he is lamenting. In many ways, it was a terrible time to be alive. It was a terrible period in the history of the people of God. We think we have it rough sometimes. How much more they did in those days. And Jeremiah speaks for the people. And Jeremiah speaks for himself. And yet just in the middle of all of the lamentation, and we tasted just a bit of it with chapter 3, but right in the middle of it, suddenly there is this bright spot. Suddenly there is this confession of faith. There is this acknowledgement of God's loving kindness, of God's faithfulness. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Isn't this good to read? And don't we need it as much as Jeremiah and the Jews of his day? We need these words because they give to us perspective and they help us with direction. The prophet is telling us, in spite of all the pain and misery and sorrow, in spite of the grievous and heavy affliction that has come down, and justly deserved, of course, then and now too, we have to say, even so, this is what is true. God is still so faithful. God is still so faithful. That's what Jeremiah knows. That's what all God's people can know. But all the church can know in all times, in all places, in all seasons, no matter what is happening, here is reason to break out into thanksgiving and praise. God is so faithful still. Let's consider that theme this morning from out of our text for a brief period of time. Three points under the theme. God is still so faithful. First of all, see that. See that. We need to see it. And if we listen to the text, we can. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Literally, that says we are not finished. That's what Jeremiah sees. Of course, in many ways, they were finished. Their city had been destroyed. Their temple had been burned. They had been taken from their homes. They had been exiled to a foreign land. And there was no sign of rescue. There was no indication that anytime soon it would be over. In fact, it would be many years. It would be decades before there would be deliverance. And so in many ways, it seemed that Jeremiah and the Jews, they were consumed. They were finished. And wasn't this really the end of the people of God? That's what many may have concluded. That's what Jeremiah may have been tempted to conclude. And yet here he tells us he saw more still. In spite of everything, not all the people were dead. Many were living still, and they were eating, and they were doing okay. And what is more, they had still the promises of God, even in a foreign land. They had still the covenant of God and His sign and seal. Things were bad, things were terrible, but they were not consumed. God had not yet finished with them altogether. And in the midst of all the darkness, Jeremiah could see that. Maybe not always, but here he came to it. Here he gave expression to it. Not consumed. And we have to say the same, don't we? This year has not been easy. The times we live in are not easy. And no doubt each of us has experienced that in different ways. Maybe health-wise, you have suffered, not getting the care that you needed. Maybe this year you have gotten serious news about yourself, about those you love. Maybe this year, especially with all that's happening, your anxiety has kicked up to another level. Maybe socially and mentally you have been lonelier, you have struggled. Maybe it's been hard to see family members in isolation and visiting curtailed. How many months some of you haven't been able to see those to whom you're very close? Maybe you are lamenting all the limitations and restrictions and what it is doing to our society and the implications also long-term for freedom. We can worry about those things. Maybe sometimes the seeming irrationality of what is happening gets to you and drives you crazy. Well, all that and more we can point to. And it's hard. But in spite of all that, we too have to say, we're not consumed. We're not finished. Far from it, even. Don't we all have enough to eat? And we have family, and we have friends, and we have supports, and we have helpers. We can still attend worship services. Now, all of us, every Sunday. God has afflicted us. God is trying us with so many others, but God has not consumed us. In fact, even with all the challenges, haven't there been many blessings? Some of you, from a financial perspective, in your business, some of you are doing better than ever before. Not all of you, but some of you. And think, too, of the new appreciations we have simply for school. And for church, and for each other. Things that we maybe took for granted in the past, we now hold close and treasure in ways we didn't before. We're still alive, we're still blessed, and very, very much so. Not consumed, not finished. Jeremiah's right. How important to see that. It's also important to see that it's undeserved. It's undeserved. When you think about this, isn't it true that we deserve really to be consumed? We deserve to be finished. Don't we have to say that also on this Thanksgiving Day? How many sins we have committed this past year? Especially even these last months, these last 6 or 7 months. Have you never given in to a spirit of unbelief? Or to a spirit of murmuring and complaining? How much of the shutdown time maybe we didn't redeem so well? Maybe we wasted some of it. Maybe even we used it to indulge in open sin, open rebellion. Don't we have to confess? Don't we have to acknowledge that this year has, in its own way, revealed, pulled to the surface a certain worldliness, a certain over-attachment to the things of this life. Maybe even a certain over-dependence on man and what we have built and the way our society is supposed to work. Can even be that simply self-centeredness has come to the foreground and we've been put out because our plans have to be on hold, or we can't do or build or enjoy or travel as we had first anticipated. That's just the sin maybe of this last half year. What about the sin of our whole life? What about all the transgressions and the rebellions and the defilements of which we are all guilty in some measure and to some degree? And it is all evil in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. And it is worthy, therefore, it is worthy of His just and eternal punishment. And instead of that, here we are. And we get to live. And we get to enjoy still so many good things. Should that not humble us? Should that not humble us so much? If God should mark our iniquities, not a one of us could stand. But instead, what happens is we're not consumed. Undeservedly so. We're not finished. And why is that? Well, Jeremiah tells us, it's because, he says, of the Lord's mercies. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Literally, the Lord's loving kindnesses, the Lord's covenant faithfulnesses. That's what's in view. So the character of the Lord. Because what He is like as a God of love, as a God who is true to His word, as a God who takes reasons out of Himself to show kindness to people like you and me. And together with that, Jeremiah points also to the Lord's compassions and the fact that they do not fail. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. So that means that God's tender, loving care for His people, no matter what, it doesn't stop. It doesn't cease. It goes on and on and on. And then the text mentions God's faithfulness. Really, the fact that He is true. Right down to the core, He is true. And He is trustworthy. God never lets His people down. That's what Jeremiah is saying. A few months ago, one of you said something to me, just in passing, something that was very helpful. And that happens more often, of course, and I'm sure we all experience that. It's one of the blessings of the communion of the saints, that we converse together and we encourage each other. But something that one of you shared has stood out over the months. It was when we were still in quite a lot more restriction, and we were talking about all these things, and one of you said to me, in these times we need to remember what God is like. Because we can't always see or know or understand what God is doing. His ways may be mysterious to us, and they often are. His ways may be past finding out, but of His character we can be absolutely convinced. And isn't that helpful? We're not able to discern always God's hand in our life, but we can always be sure of His heart. We can't understand all of His ways with us, but we can know that He loves us and that He's true. His character. Where do you go for refuge in the hard times? You can't make sense always of the details, but you can be confident of God's kindness, of God's faithfulness. That's what Jeremiah is telling us. And notice yet how real this is for Jeremiah as he's seeing this. Because he can say concerning, especially the Lord's mercies and compassions, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. You know what that means? That means that in spite of everything going on, Jeremiah can testify to the love and care of God renewed to him, not just on occasion, not simply once in a while, even a long while. No, day after day after day. And it's not just an idea, but he can see it. He experiences it. How did he experience it? Who knows? Maybe in the sunrise. Maybe in the provision of another meal. Maybe in being able to remember the promises of God. Maybe in some other way, but always and again, it was true. A new day dawns and God's mercies and compassions come rushing in every single day. And is it not the same story? And we need to see it. Well, sometimes we can see it better than other times. Sometimes we can see it better when we look back. You know, today is October 12th. By my count, it is exactly 7 months since we met together for our prayer service on March 12th. And we all remember March 12th very well. March 12th was the day everything went down. And we were here for a prayer service. And it was an anxious time. And there was a strange spirit upon the congregation. We all felt it. And no doubt the church around the world felt it. But we came together and you may not remember, but we heard God's word. We heard it from Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry. He'll provide. That was the message. It was timely. And now here we are 7 months later, and what has God done? He has provided. He has provided. He has renewed his mercies and his love to us every day. And that in spite of the fact that we all have to confess we have not always sought first his kingdom and his righteousness. You see, the faithfulness of God appears when we have eyes to see it. He's doing it now and he won't ever stop. And by way of this word, we can trust him. We can trust him for every day. That's why the last word in verse 23 is faithfulness. Our God is faithful. So that is what Jeremiah sees. Not consumed, in spite of what we deserve, all through God's mercy, and day after day experiencing that mercy. Jeremiah sees it. Do we see it? Isn't it so important to see? Isn't it even crucial to true thanksgiving? God has been faithful. God is still so faithful. I hope we see it this morning or something of it. But as we follow Jeremiah, the prophet, in our text, let's not only see it, but secondly, let's worship God. Let's worship God. Here, let's pay attention to the change of pronouns in the text. I mean what happens halfway through verse 23. Because in verses 22 and 23, we listen to Jeremiah telling us about the Lord's compassions and mercies. Through his mercies, because his compassions fail not, Jeremiah is telling us about the Lord. But something changes halfway through verse 23. The pronoun changes because the focus changes. Because halfway through verse 23, Jeremiah stops talking to us and instead he turns and begins to speak to the Lord. And what does he say? Great is your faithfulness. Do you see the pronoun switch? It goes from his to your. Jeremiah is speaking to his fellow man, and now he goes and speaks to the living God. And the takeaway, what Jeremiah is doing here is he is worshiping. Reflection upon God and his faithfulness compels him to worship God. As he's thinking about the Lord and all that he is, he cannot simply keep it inside or share it with others. He must express it to God himself. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. And is this not so important? Is this not what marks a true child of God? You know, the world and man by nature, they're so full of themselves. Man, as a sinner, has no time or care for the faithfulness of God. His whole life is all about himself, his insights, his wisdom, his strength, his endurance. Look what I have built, like Nebuchadnezzar, this great house that I have put together. It's all about him. That's the natural man. It cannot be that way with a true Christian. I am what I am by the grace of God. He has been kind to me. He has shown compassion to me. He has been faithful to me. It's all him. That's what Jeremiah is saying. And he says it now to God. And notice too that it's not just an acknowledgement on the part of Jeremiah. No, the point is worship. Jeremiah worships. He says, "Great is your faithfulness." So we shouldn't miss the intensity or the passion of the prophet. Jeremiah is essentially on his face before God. He has really fallen down and he's adoring the Lord. And is that not important to do? Can be even when we are sorrowing, even when we are lamenting, that we are at the same time adoring the Father. We may be struggling with his ways while at the same time acknowledging in wonder and in worship his faithfulness. And that's important, isn't it? That's really at the heart of true thanksgiving. We don't just run through a list of things. We're thankful for this and thankful for that. Of course, it's good to do. It's good to do that. But it's important to do it with a worshiping spirit. That at the heart of it is this awe and wonder and amazement at who God is and how good and kind even to us and faithful. And then to express it. Do we do that? Do we express it to him? It can be simply with the words of this text that we say precisely these things to the Lord. Lord, you have been faithful to me, to us. We don't deserve it, but you have shown it every day. It is great. Great is your faithfulness. I wonder what your plans are for today, and if they include any time or space to acknowledge the Lord and to worship him. Of course, we are doing that now. And that's good, but shouldn't it happen beyond even this moment and throughout the day? And not only on Thanksgiving Day, but really our whole life long. Shouldn't this be our spirit? See, the Word is serving as a lamp to our feet. This is how to live. This is how to walk through a sad, weary, and broken down world. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. We owe everything to the fact that He is faithful. We owe every breath that we breathe, every blessing we receive, all of it, our whole salvation ultimately. Let him therefore receive our thanks and our praise. Let him receive the glory that is due to his name. Let him hear it from your mouth and mine and with all our heart. But then there's one more thing to say this morning from the text, because it isn't finished. One of the neat things about Lamentations 3 is that it is written as an acrostic, which you can't see so well in English, of course, though the way maybe the Bible breaks up the verses can help. But basically, it works like this. In Hebrew, the chapter is written in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, three verses at a time begin with the same letter. So, the first three verses begin with the first Hebrew letter. And then verses 4 to 6 begin each verse with the second Hebrew letter. And so it goes all the way through. And the point is that with our text, 22 through 24, all three verses then begin with the same Hebrew letter, the letter He. And because they do that, we can see all three verses belonging together in a certain way. That means we have to listen then to the last verse of the text, 24. It's a follow-up to the proclamation of God's faithfulness. And the point of verse 24 is to say, let us hope in God alone. So that's the last point. God is still so faithful. See that, worship him, and hope in God alone. What does the text say? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. So notice that Jeremiah has shifted. Now he's speaking back to us. He rose to a crescendo of worship in 23, turning from the people to the Lord and proclaiming to the Lord, great is your faithfulness. But now in 24, he comes down again, as it were, and he turns to all of us and he tells us about his heart. And it's a lesson and it's a summons. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. What's that mean? Especially, the Lord is my portion. Well, Jeremiah is using Old Testament language here to speak about how the people received in the promised land each a portion for themselves. Maybe you remember that, how every tribe was allotted a particular inheritance. Every tribe received a portion of Canaan. Well, every tribe except one. The Levites received no portion. They were given particular cities and fields, but they received no particular portion because, you can read this all over the Old Testament, the Lord is their portion, the Bible says. So portion refers then to what belongs to us. And here now is Jeremiah saying, the Lord, just like the Levites, the Lord is my portion. In other words, the Lord is all I need. The Lord, I belong to Him. He owns me, and I, in a certain way, can own Him or can possess Him, can be loved by Him and blessed by Him and be saved by Him, ultimately delivered from all my sins and from all the power of the devil. That's all I need, Jeremiah is saying. The Lord is my portion. He's all I need. He satisfies every desire of my heart. He's my refuge and my strength and my joy and my delight. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my all. And to have Him and to know Him is more than anything. Really, it's everything. The Lord is my portion. And really, if we put this in context then of Jeremiah's day, he's saying, I don't need the city of Jerusalem. And I don't need the temple. They're gone. I don't need them. I don't need the sacrifices and the rituals and the priesthood and the community. Well, obviously, all those things are important and they have their place, but were they not simply means to an end? And that end was to live in communion with the living God, to live in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will hope, therefore, in Him, says Jeremiah. Yes, that's what he's telling us. And is he not an example to us? And is he not a summons to us? That we learn to echo Him and to say the same as Him and to do the same as Him. In other words, like Jeremiah, to put all our hope, our trust for life and forever, to put it all in the living God, to look to Him to save us, to keep us, to look to Him to provide for us and to direct us and to strengthen us for every day. That's how to live. Jeremiah was learning that even as he was lamenting, he was learning to hope in the Lord alone. And here we are on Thanksgiving Day, 2020. And let this strangest of Thanksgiving days be a help to us, that we learn this lesson to hope in God alone. To be able to say like Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. And while we look around and while we count our blessings, and while we should do all that, still have we not learned this year, we cannot trust in man. And we dare not put our securities in the things of time and space. And we cannot hope ultimately for a safe world or a free country or a stable government or a healthy economy. We can work out those things as God enables, but in terms of our confidence, in terms of what keeps us strong and steadfast and even joyful, it's God and God alone. So that even if we lose everything, if we have God, if He is our portion, we'll be okay. We really will be okay. Is that not the heart of it? Hoping in God alone? And congregation, if you've never done that, today is surely the day to start. The Lord Himself is calling us to seek Him and to trust Him. Where else can we go? In whom else can we hope? This world is broken. We've learned that this year. Soon it's finished. Only God remains true. Only God can see you through. That's what He does, by the way, through His Son and by His Spirit. And when you think of His Son, how His Son suffered the worst affliction, even more than we could ever measure. This chapter is but a small window into what the Son endured. But by way of that enduring, He was purchasing eternal life, even for sinners like us. And all who come to Him, He saves, He redeems, and gives to them His Spirit to live in us and to preserve us because he's a faithful triune God. If you have never looked to him today, you need to. You need to. Or else to renew your faith and your trust and to echo the prophet and say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Yes, even today, this strangest of days, when we may confess with joy, God is still so faithful, isn't he? Amen. Let us pray and give thanks to the Lord. Through your mercies, O Lord, we are not consumed, because your compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful words that could be spoken by Jeremiah so long ago. They come in the midst of lamentation. We understand something of lamentation. For while the world has moved on, it has not gotten easier. It has not gotten better. In spite of many blessings, it is as broken and wretched as ever. And we cannot hope in anyone or anything but in you and in you alone. We pray, Lord, that you will help us this morning and help us all our days to see how faithful you are and to worship you and to hope in you, in none but you. As we unite, Lord, this morning, we have to acknowledge that in spite of everything, we are not consumed either. We are not finished. In spite of what we have deserved, we have been richly blessed another year. We thank you for things we often take for granted. Food and drink every day, in rich abundance, and more even than we need. We thank you for health and strength for many of us. We thank you, Lord, for daily care and provision. We thank you for family, loved ones, and friends. We thank you, Lord, for this place where we live with all of its opportunities for education, for school, whether it be homeschool or day school. We thank you, Lord, for the return of the school season, for 5 weeks of regular studies for our children, for our young people. We thank you for our work, our daily jobs, and the way we can go out and provide for ourselves and for our loved ones, and provide also for the kingdom of God. Lord, we are very blessed, and we often miss the blessings because we see only the troubles and the hardships. Forgive that, O Lord. And grant that we may continue to be thankful. We acknowledge, too, another growing season now about to be behind us. In the spring, we prayed for a good year, and you have given a good year. And by all accounts, the farmers are reporting, many of them, another bountiful harvest. Maybe some things not the way they hoped, other crops more than they hoped. Lord, you have shown your goodness, and we can only be humbled and say thank you for what you have done. We thank you, too, that in the midst of a pandemic that has encompassed the world, with all of the complexities of it and challenges, Lord, you have been very kind to us. So far as we know, there has been none of us sick. So far as we know, none, and there is none of us who has died from this. From this virus. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining us as families, as individuals, and blessing us even beyond expectation. When maybe there was a thought that even summer vacations couldn't happen, trips to the cottage or camping trips or travels further afield might not take place. And yet, they did happen, and they did take place, and we enjoyed again more than we deserve. Lord, what the word says, every day you have shown your faithfulness And we pray that we may have eyes to see it and hearts to appreciate, grateful hearts that worship and praise you. And then even more than all of that, there are the spiritual and eternal blessings that we may have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And how, Lord, can we ever give enough thanks for them and even measure them as we ought? Bless the Lord, O my soul, we say with the psalmist, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We thank you that in spite of the shutdown back in the spring, we could still hear the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that restrictions have been lifted somewhat, that we can come now. Though not in full capacity, we can come still and hear the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that we can start up Bible studies and youth ministries, and again, maybe not quite like before, still so blessed that we can do these things. We thank you most of all that there is a gospel, that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and Christ died, even for such as us. What sufferings he endured, what immeasurable agonies he experienced, what afflictions overwhelmed his soul. He became the target, O Lord, and you unleashed on him your arrows of judgment and of wrath. And he was as if he was ambushed by a lion and a bear, and infinite torments overcame him, all as we deserve, so that we might be delivered. Oh, we pray again that we may have eyes to see the glory of the gospel and how we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, pardon for every sin, and righteousness even forevermore. We thank you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit who has come, who has been poured forth. The Spirit of first fruits, the Spirit of harvest, the Spirit of Pentecost. And how he comes to live in us, all who confess you. How he comes to encourage us and strengthen us and revive us and refresh us. We owe so much to you, O Holy Spirit. And you never leave us. And through you, the Father and the Son also make their home with us. And we are promised that you will sustain us all our way through life and through all that we must undergo, and that you will bring us safely home. O Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is too much even to consider all that you give us in the gospel, all that you do for us, we who could never deserve it. We pray, therefore, that we may say like Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion, not this world, not the things of this world. Though we may enjoy your good gifts, and though we have responsibilities and a calling here below, we have our hope in the Lord and in the Lord alone. We pray that you would seal this to each one of us and bless us in a way that we are transformed by these things, that we are also different, and that we are a witness, that we are a light shining in the increasing darkness that is all around us, and a means also that we may draw others to know you and to find their life in you. Even as we pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for all these things, we also pray for grace and strength to press on and to persevere. You are faithful. Help us to be faithful. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to be disciplined in our reading and praying and calling upon you. Help us to live by faith until the day will come when we may enjoy clear sight when we come into your presence in eternal glory. We pray that you will bless this day, Lord, and we thank you for a beautiful day. And we pray that as we leave this place shortly, we may do so with a song in our heart and a spring in our step. We pray, too, about all that is going on all around us. And again, we do ask that you may have mercy and deliver us. It can be your will. Provide, Lord, a way out of all of the confusion and all of the distress and also out of the sickness. We don't know even how to pray for it so often, but you know the needs, Lord. And we pray that you will do whatever is best for the building of your church and for the glory of your name, and that we may be your faithful servants and do what you tell us to do, and for your praise, O Lord, and for your glory. Thank you that we could be together this morning, and also with those online. Again, unite us together through the Holy Spirit. Bind us ever closer together in the truth and in love to Jesus Christ. Grant that we may continue from here, looking also to that day when there will be never any more lamentation. Never any more lamentation, but only and ever thanksgiving and praise. All by grace and by grace alone. Amen.